Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Hari. Janavalabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vandachari Yamuna Tira Vandachari Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaius par paramamsi parvidaj kushari shati shati shishmat shlesi bhaktivedanta swami shila prabhupada ki jai Jaius par paramamsi parvidaj kushari shati shati shishmat bhaktivedanta saraswati maharaj ki jai ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai nama acharya shila haridas thakur ki jai iskon viviti founder acharya hisingresh shila prabhupada ki jai Prem se ho shi krishna chitanna prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar shivasri gaura bhakta vrinda ki jai shishi radha krishna gopa gopina shyama kunda radha kunda giri govardhan ki jai vrindavan dham ki jai mayapur dham ki jai ganga maya yamuna maya ki jai tulasi devi bhakti devi ki jai shri hari nam sankirtan yagya ki jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to somebody devotees. All glories to somebody devotees. All glories to somebody devotees. All glories, Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Text 18 and 19. Jnanam param svatma raha prakasham Pravacha kasmai Bhagavan samagram. Apikshamam no grahanya bartar. Vadanya saya vrijinam taremam. Jnanam param svatmaraha prakasham. Provacha kasmai bhagavan samagram. Apikshamam no grahanya bartar. Vadanya saya vrijinam taremam. Jnanam param svatmaraha prakasham. Provacha kasmai bhagavan samagram. Apikshamam no grahanya bartar. Vadanya saya vrijinam taremam. Please chant. Ladies, please.
Thank you.
Jnanam. Knowledge. Param. Supreme. Svatmam. Own self. Raham. Mystery. Prakasham. Enlightening. Pravacham. Said. Kasmai. Unto. Another page. Brahmaji. Oh, I'm sorry. It's kind of split. Okay. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Samagram. In sum total. Api. If so. Shamam. Able. Nam. Unto me. Grahanayam. Acceptable. Bartam. O my Lord. Vadam. Say. Anyasam. In detail. Yat. That which. Virginam. Miseries. Taremam. Can cross over. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji. Purport. A pure devotee like Uddhava has no material afflictions because he engages constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A devotee feels afflicted without the association of the Lord. Constant remembrance of the Lord's activities keeps the devotee alive. And therefore, Uddhava requested that the Lord please enlighten him with the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam as previously instructed to Brahmaji. Text 19, we can chant together. Iti havedita hardayam mayam sa bhagavant param adidesha ravindaksham atmana paramam stitam. Translation. When I thus expressed my heartfelt desires unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about his transcendental situation. Purport. The words paramam stitim are significant in this verse. The Lord's transcendental situation was not even spoken of to Brahma when the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33 through 36 were explained. This transcendental situation comprises his dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited at Dwaraka and Vrindavan. When the Lord explained his specific transcendental situation, it was meant for Uddhava only, and therefore Uddhava particularly said, Mayam, unto me. Although the great sage Maitreya was also sitting there, such transcendental situation is hardly understood by those whose devotion is mixed with speculative knowledge of fruitive activities. The Lord's activities in confidential love are very rarely disclosed to the general devotees who are attracted by devotion mixed with knowledge and mysticism. Such activities are the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. Dhyanam param svatmarata prakasham provacha kasmai bhagavan samagram apikshamam nagrahanya bartar vadanyasaya vrijinam taremam. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhya Kripa Sinubhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So nice to be back to my spiritual home, and nice to see all of lovely devotees. So I was reflecting on these verses, and this third canto is actually very, very unique. I was actually trying to reflect, because of there is so many sweet interactions between the devotees. First we see Vidura approaching Uddhava, and then later on Uddhava is going to instruct Vidura to approach Maitreya. And this chapter is very unique because it describes interactions of three devotees with distinctly different devotional backgrounds. So first let's take a look, Vidura. As we know, his actual position, he is an incarnation of Yamaraj. And after Krishna, he is actually the most trusted advisor to Pandavas. He warned them repeatedly of the wicked plans of Duryodhana. Duryodhana tried to burn the Pandavas in the house made of wax. He was actually the one that saved them. He went and he warned them. And so very, very unique devotee. We also know when Krishna was on a peace mission to Hastinapur, and Duryodhana was inviting Krishna to spend time, you know, in his opulent palace. But Lord declined that offer, and he instead preferred to stay in Vidura's house. So we can understand Vidura's position. He is very, very dear to the Lord. And also there is indirect family connection to Krishna. As we know, Pauravi or Rohini, she is the mother of Lord Balaram. She is the sister of Vidura. So therefore, Vasudev was the husband of Vidura's sister, and thus they were brothers-in-law. And similarly also, Vasudev's sister, Kunti, she is the wife of Pandu, which is Vidura's elder brother. So that is, why I'm saying this, because we can understand how each of these three devotees, they are have very unique relationship with Krishna. And the other important thing to note is that despite of all that, Vidura felt need to go to pilgrimage to purify himself. He thought that, you know, I have been associating with fallen souls like Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, therefore I have to purify myself. Even though Krishna was on the planet, Vidura went to the pilgrimage. And as we know, the culmination of his pilgrimage was actually meeting the saintly devotees like Uddhava and Maitreya. So on the other hand, Uddhava, he also has a very unique position. He is very close and confidential devotee of the Lord. He was the one who Krishna actually sent to Vrindavan to deliver message to the gopis. And often Krishna would approach him asking for the advice. So, you know, we can see how much trust Krishna has in Uddhava. And towards the end of Lord's pastimes, Krishna actually explains in 11th canto, the Lord is saying, "O greatly fortunate Uddhava, you have accurately revealed my desire to withdraw the Yadu dynasty from the earth and return to my own abode in Vaikuntha." So we can see how Uddhava can actually perceive the Lord's plans and he understands his intentions. So very, very intimate devotee of the Lord. And other thing we can say, this is actually a verse that's going to be coming soon. Krishna is saying, "Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the moods of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead." So, very, very unique devotee. And then, who is Maitreya Rishi? So, Maitreya, he is the actually disciple of Parashara Muni. Who is Parashara Muni? As we know, he is the father of Srila Vyasadeva. So Maitreya Muni and Srila Vyasadeva, they're actually good friends. Often they would converse, you know, Krishna conscious topics, and they were actually very good friends. And we know also from Mahabharata, at one particular point in time, basically Srila Vyasadeva said, soon Maitreya Muni, he will arrive. He was talking to Dhritarashtra. And he was saying, you know, you should take his advice. Otherwise, if you don't, he's going to curse you. He's a great rishi. And when Maitreya Muni arrived, it really actually happened. Maitreya was giving good instructions to Duryodhana. However, due to arrogance, his ego, he couldn't take any of the good instructions. In fact, Duryodhana was so so rude, to say in our modern English. Like, he was kind of like, you know, his expression was, he slapped his tie, you know, he was stretching his leg and scratching the earth with his foot, kind of like ignoring the great rishi. And yeah, Maitreya, he noticed his arrogant nature and he actually cursed him. And he said, "You foolish Duryodhana, in the war, Bhima will actually smash your thigh." And that's actually what happened later on. So we can see all these personalities, they play very, very unique roles in Krishna's pastimes. And I was thinking this, especially these first few chapters of third canto, why are they so unique? Interestingly, actually, devotees in Mayapur are also reading this actually, I think they're now in the second chapter, so they're a little bit behind us. But it's amazing to see how on the two sides of the world devotees are studying very similar topic. So, why are these chapters so unique? They are unique because Uddhava is describing Lord's departure from this world. And in describing that, he is actually exhibiting love in separation. And as we know, that is the highest actually platform of devotional service, that love and devotion that gopis feel for the Lord in Vrindavan, love in separation. So as we are hearing this, these verses and these pastimes, we also can feel, I mean, we can try to understand Uddhava's heart, how affected he is. So finally, in this verse today, Uddhava is saying, "My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji." So it's interesting, he's saying, if you think us competent. I was thinking about that. And of course, we know Uddhava is definitely competent. But I was thinking, what about us? Are we competent to receive this transcendental knowledge? What do you think? Anybody? Don't be shy.
We are here.
We are here, okay.
Shows the action,
at least we are attempting.
We have to develop the intention and clear, then the absorption will come.
Okay. And one more question I have for you. What comes first, knowledge or devotion?
They go side by side.
Prabhu, you know everything. That is correct. It's very interesting, actually. I was thinking, is devotion actually dependent on the knowledge? How did devotees become attracted to Srila Prabhupada, the Westerners who are coming from the Western culture and have no information about Krishna? What was that? I mean, they didn't have knowledge at that point, but what was that that attracted them to Srila Prabhupada? What do you think? Yes. You look like you want to say something.
I was thinking, Prabhupada care for the devotees is love. The devotees were attracted, and then they were able to listen to Prabhupada. And so, because Prabhupada cared about the relationship, you had a relationship with Prabhupada, really caring. And, you know, especially the Western, sometimes we were very personal. So Prabhupada came and was able to be personal with the devotees were really attracted to that. And because of that,
Thank you. Yes, that is true. So devotees noticed very unique and caring nature that Srila Prabhupada exhibited. But also I think, even though, you know, in the beginning, of course, we have no knowledge, we have any information about Krishna, but just the meeting of great saintly personality like Srila Prabhupada, it's kind of like almost like getting in touch with electricity. you get a surge of electric bhakti energy. So therefore we can see how Krishna actually makes these unique arrangements where devotees gather together and they actually influence each other. Like we're gonna hear in this purpose. What Krishna was saying, Prabhupada is saying, it was specifically addressed to Uddhava. But Maitreya Muni is also sitting there, so he's benefiting, definitely. So just by being in a good association, even though we may not have much knowledge or devotion, just by being in a company of great devotees who actually do have devotion, that energy is actually very contagious. So there is a beautiful verse in the 11th canto where Krishna is saying, "My devotee may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees." Very interesting. So, Prabhupada goes on to explain basically Pure devotee like Uddhava has no material afflictions because he engages constantly in transcendental loving service. And it is explained here that constant remembrance of the Lord's activity keeps the devotee alive. Keeps the devotee alive. I like that so much. So in the material world, we can see that people have so many troubles, so many afflictions, and everybody's looking for relief, for freedom. Recently I read one very interesting essay that Sachinandan Maharaj was writing, and Maharaj was explaining one day he was walking in a forest and he just met some random man who kind of like, you know, stopped him, and they were having a very sweet exchange because they were similar in age. So they started talking, and this man was saying, he was addressing the current events in the world, and he was saying like how we are all looking for the freedom. And he was saying, do you remember when the Berlin Wall fell, how everybody was so jubilant and happy? Those of you who don't know, there was basically divide in Germany, East Germany and West Germany, and there was a wall, and people from East Germany couldn't cross to the West, and so they were kind of like you know, suffering on one side. So people were so happy, and prior to that, you know, people tried to cross, and this man was saying like even one man, he took 100 of shirts and he sewed them together, and he used the flame, you know, tried to make a balloon, you know, with the hot air. He was trying to cross from East Germany to West Germany, and just before he was about to land, the guards, they actually realized what was going on, and they shot him, unfortunately. So we can see how all the living entities in this world, they are looking for the freedom. And Maharaj was, you know, after this exchange with this person, oh yeah, Maharaj also said, yeah, I remember, because devotees were actually, they went when the wall opened and they were doing Harinam. So it was, you know, so Maharaj was saying like we had something in common, like, you know, he was there doing Harinam and this man was so happy that finally the wall came down. But after that, Maharaj was reflecting and he was saying, as I grew older and reflect on my life, what is the actual freedom? Is the freedom when the body is free? Is the freedom when one's mind and thoughts are free? Or is it freedom when one's soul is free? And then he said, as I grow older and reflect on my life, I answer that question with a deep conviction that freedom is only possible in the bondage of divine love, when the soul finally lies in the arms of divine beloved. And then he wrote actually a nice poem. And the poem goes like this. Capture me. Take me into the prison house of your love. Bind me, bind my heart with the sweetness of your name, for otherwise I shall never be free. That's Sachinandan Maharaj. Kija. So then the next verse, basically in the verse 19, Srila Uddhava is saying he's expressing his heartfelt desire for the Lord's instructions. And Prabhupada is saying in a purport that the words paramam sthitim are very significant because they indicate that Krishna was actually explaining to Uddhava is was not even in Chatushloki. Because to Uddhava he is giving even more confidential information. And what that transcendental situation of the Lord is, Prabhupada is saying, This transcendental situation comprises his dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited in Dwaraka and Vrindavan. So it's interesting also to note Prabhupada saying that all this conversation, it's actually for the benefit of Maitreya, who is sitting nearby, and he's listening. Because Maitreya had different mood, and now he's hearing about sweet exchange between devotees in Maitreya and Vrindavan. As one example, basically, we heard in one of the verses a very sweet exchange between Krishna and his parents. Basically, Krishna was writing to his parents, Devaki and Vasudev, and he was begging for forgiveness. He was saying, please forgive me that I cannot serve your feet. I run due to the fear of Kamsa. And, you know, we can think like, you know, of course, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, he's not afraid of anything, but he's playing that sweet role that he is basically exhibiting, fear of Kamsa, just to please Vasudev. Because we know Vasudev, he would never believe that, you know, Krishna can protect himself. And therefore, he broke the promise of delivering all the children to Kamsa. Prabhupada even mentions the incident when Vasudev was carrying Krishna through Yamuna just to kind of relish even more that sweet exchange. The Lord dropped into the waters of Yamuna, and Vasudeva was completely mad, you know, searching for him. And that way Krishna was relishing that sweet love. So it's very interesting. So we find Maitreya Muni, basically, Uddhava, he's going to say later on to Vidura, when Vidura wants to hear more, basically, he's going to instruct him to approach Maitreya Muni. And we can see how these great sages, they play very, very interesting roles. And so Maitreya will become spiritual master of Vidura. Interestingly also, we can recall the very sweet pastime. At one time, basically, Durvasa Muni, another great rishi, he was traveling and he arrived at the home of Vrishabhanu. And as we know, Sri Radhika, she served the great sage very nicely. So much so that he was very pleased that he offered her blessing, and he said, my dear Radha, from now on, whatever you cook is going to be like nectar, like a pure nectar. And whoever eats your preparations basically will never experience any disease, will always be victorious, and will never, you know, suffer defeat to enemy. And after hearing that, Mother Yashoda thought, wouldn't it be nice if that girl cooks for my little boy? So Mother Yashoda was very, very intelligent. And she made the arrangement. So Srimati Radhika, she would come every day and cook for Krishna. And after a while, as time was progressing, one day Mother Yashoda, she was in very deep thoughts, and she started thinking, who in the three worlds would be better suitable to be married to my little son other than Srimati Radhika? And she kind of, you know, embraced Radhika on her lap and placed turmeric on her palms. And then she said, Radha, do you know what this means? And Srimati Radharani said, no, Mother, I do not. Why did you place haldi, is that how you say it, on my palms? And Mother Yashoda explained, Radha, this means that from now on you are engaged. And Srimati Radharani, she was very shy, but she, you know, humbly said, whatever you say, Mother, your words are my orders. And Mother Shura said, go now and talk to your parents and ask them what they think. So Radharani left Mother Yashoda's house, and her sakis, her friends, they were accompanying her. And as they were walking, Srimati Radharani was very kind of shy, and she was trying to hide her hands. And at one point, Lalita Devi said, Radha, what are you doing? Why are you keeping your hands like that? And she kind of grabbed her hand, and she looked and she said, what is this? Why are your hands covered with turmeric, with haldi? And Radharani shyfully explained, Mother Yashoda thinks I should get married, and therefore, you know, she plays this indicating that I'm engaged. And then Vishakha said, oh no, that's not good. We're going to lose our freedom. We are too young to be married. Quick, we need to do something before, you know, the villagers see and, you know, spread the news. And then they saw the pond little nearby, and Alita said, quickly, quickly, Radha, go and wash your hands before the villagers see. So Srimati Radharani went into a little pond, and as she approached it, she looked and she saw the reflection of herself. And she was so captured by that beautiful expression in the water, and she was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to never be separated from Krishna? And then she stepped inside the water and started rubbing her hands. And it's explained, as she was washing her hands, basically the water started creating the golden circular waves. Very amazing. And she was so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna while she was doing that even her hands were already clean, and entire lake became golden. Like, she was still, you know, scrubbing her hands. And finally, the other Sakhi said, Radha, come, don't you see, your hands are already clean. And then finally, Radharani stepped out, and they started running back. And they said, like, let's run before the other villagers, you know, see what's going on. So it's explained very nicely. Basically, the gopis, they placed Radharani in front of the group, and they were running towards Varshanam. And it said, like, they appeared like a group of colorful clouds, their golden complexions like a flashing lightning, their uncontrolled giggling like a playful rumble of a distant thunder, and their love for Krishna like an imminent monsoon shower. Very, very poetic words by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So shortly after, Krishna came by that same spot, and he was seeking for the calf. It's described like one of the calf was lost, and sometimes he also used it as excuse so he can actually go and seek the gopis. But in this case, he was looking for the calf. So he came by that little pond, and he looked and he said, what is going on? I've been here before, and all of a sudden this little pond changed the color. Now it's golden. So he was very curious, and he came closer, and as he came nearby, he was feeling something very, very special that he never felt before. He was thinking, like, what is this feeling? I feel like normally I can experienced the love of Vijayabhasis for me, but now I feel something different. I feel, and he later on he realized that's the love that Radharani feels for him. So he came into the lake, and first he went up to his ankles, and then up to his knees, and then deeper and deeper. And then at one point he was all the way submerged up to his neck. And it's described all the animals, all the birds, all the flowers. Everybody was observing. And then he went completely in. And the only thing that was visible was his peacock, peacock feather. So it's described like while Krishna was so submerged, like all the creatures, they stopped breathing in separation from the Lord. And they were holding their breath, like waiting to see what's going to happen. So finally Krishna came out, but he was not anymore the color Shyam. He was actually golden. And he was crying. He was saying, "Krishna, Krishna, where are you?" So he was exhibiting the mood of Srimati Radharani. And as we know, that is the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the point is that by the mercy of Nitai Gaur, we have this great fortune to hear these sweet pastimes, to absorb our minds, to actually relish this transcendental knowledge. And like we were questioning earlier, are we competent to receive this transcendental knowledge? Personally, I'm not. However, like Prana Prabhu said, we are here. We are endeavoring. We are following instructions of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters. And that is all that is actually necessary to achieve the success. The knowledge will come in time. The devotion will come in time. But we just have to keep on practicing. Recently, I was in Mayapur, and one devotee was telling me, she said, "I was here 30 years ago, and I'm so happy to be back. And even though, you know, I'm just a simple Vaishnavi," she said, "but I'm still walking the path." And I thought that is really, really important point, that you know, regardless how many years have passed, that we are still on the path, we are still walking, we are going in the right direction. So we definitely want to improve. Recently I was listening to kirtan by Ashuta Gopi, beautiful kirtan. And as she was chanting, she stopped at one point and she said, "Many devotees ask me, how can we take our chanting to the next level? Because we want to dive deeper." And then she related how Aindra Prabhu actually gave instructions. And Aindra Prabhu was saying, if you want to take your chanting, your spiritual progress to the next level, first of all, you have to keep chanting. You know, you can't just, you know, leave your japa somewhere and, you know, one day chant and next day not. Or you can't, you know, just, you know, put these wonderful books on a shelf and, you know, open them, you know, once in a blue moon. So we have to be doing this practice. But then also Aindra Prabhu said, it is important to try to chant in a mood of separation. And just like Uddhava is expressing his heart to Vidura, why? Because in that mood, actually, if we are trying to understand how much we are missing the Lord, how much we are missing association of great devotees, then that desire will have more intensity and it will have more more effective results on our consciousness. So the last thing I wanted to share with you I have this beautiful book my daughter gave me as a gift. And this book is actually Japa Affirmations by our own Mahatma Prabhu. And I started reading it and I love it so much, so I've been kind of carrying it with me anywhere I go. But Mahatma Prabhu, he has very, very nice points how to improve our chanting. And one of the affirmations or one of the meditations, basically it says, you have to be out of your mind. And I was, and he had actually describes that is, you know, somewhat funny in English, because often we say like, are you out of your mind? You know, indicating, are you crazy? But Mahatma Prabhu, he is saying, he's describing, to say you're out of your mind is another way of saying you are crazy. We use this humor to explain that if we are in our mind when we chant, it means we are not present to the holy names. Whereas if we are in our heart, if we are in our heart, we are present to the experience of the holy name. For example, some feel Krishna's presence in the vibration of his names within their body. Others feel his presence in the vibration of the holy names they feel around them. But whatever the case, Prabhupada stated that we can feel Krishna when we chant. This affirmation helps us understand more deeply Prabhupada's statement. Where is the question of the mind? Which was his response to the statement, it is very difficult to control my mind when I chant. Prabhupada elaborated. You just chant with your tongue and hear with your ear. In other words, the mind is not required for hearing and experience the holy name. In fact, it is the mind that takes us away from experiencing the holy name when it focuses on the past or future. Past or the future. So we know the mind is chanchal and likes to dwell, either lament about the past or dream about the future. So let us remember and follow the instruction of Mahatma Prabhu and be out of our mind and be more present in our heart, and thus try to please Srila Prabhupada and our predecessor Acharyas. Thank you so much. I will stop here. If anybody would like to comment or have any questions or critiques.
Yes.
With the tumor?
Yeah, the tumor.
Yes. That is a famous pastime of Pili Poker, Golden Lake. And I heard from Indradyumna Maharaj and Vashana Swami. You can actually find them online. But my understanding is actually that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also writes about it. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I just want to share one with you here. This was a lecture by Prabhupada, September 26, 1974, in Calcutta, on the Srimad Bhagavatam class, was 1.2.18. He says, Anukulyena Krishnanush Bhakti Uttama, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19, verse 167. That is first class bhakti, not that. If I like it, then I shall do it. That is not anukula. That is pratikula. You like or not like, that doesn't matter. Krishna likes it, you must do it. That is anukulyena krishnanu shilanam.
Thank you, yes. Yes. Anybody else?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. I just love the way you tell your stories. So much conviction and devotion. I have a question. Did you say Rohini is a sister of Vidura?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How? Who are the parents? I mean, Vidura.
I couldn't find more details, but actually there is a purport. Srila Prabhupada, one of the purports, actually talks about it, and he describes the family interconnection. Yes, yes. Yeah, but it's described basically that Rohini is the sister of Vidura, and Kunti is sister of Vasudeva.
Yeah,
so there's that family relationship. Yeah, I couldn't find more details, but Prabhupada actually mentions that in one of his purports. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you say, why did Maitreya curse Duryodhana?
Oh, well, basically, Duryodhana was so arrogant, and while Maitreya was speaking and offering good counsel, basically, Duryodhana was, you know, he was laughing and he slapped his. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he was ignoring him, and he was very arrogant. And later on, that curse came to effect when Bhima was fighting with Duryodhana. That actually, that's how Duryodhana was defeated.
Yeah, because I know he was hitting his thigh, asking Draupadi to sit there when she was also around.
And Bhima actually at that point said, like, you know, I'm gonna crush you. Ice, and then Maitreya just reinforced that by his curse. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting how it's all actually working and it's all interrelated and connected. Yes.
Thank you for nice class. That reference is in 3.1.27. Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura's sister of Rohini. And The kund that you spoke about is also called Priya Kund. And recently it was renovated in the sense all the dirt was removed and there was a big inauguration. And it's a very nice gesture from ISKCON that we are rescuing all the holy tirthas, many holy tirthas.
Thank you, yes. So you're saying the other name is Priya Kund?
The other name is Priya Kund, yes.
Thank you, wonderful. Okay, yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So earlier in the class you were talking about how devotees were attracted to Krishna consciousness, and the idea was having love for Krishna. How is it the devotees became, and Prabhupada, you're talking about Prabhupada as well. So with that in mind, I heard one conversation where somebody, I can't remember who, was interviewing Sadaputta, and Sadaputta of course was highly educated person, had a PhD, and they were saying to Sadaputta, well, you become decided to become a devotee because of the knowledge, you read the books because you're a knowledge person, right? And he said, no, he says, I became a devotee because of Srila Prabhupada. When I met him, he convinced me by his personality, if you want. I thought we just add that.
Yes, yes, that is so true. That is so true because Prabhupada has that love for Krishna, and us coming in touch with him through his books, through association with his devotees, actually we can feel that electrical current, like I was saying. That bhakti shakti is actually being transmitted even to this day. You know, we just need to open the books and read Prabhupada's words, and we can actually feel the same energy. Okay, we can stop here. Thank you so much. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.